Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I've got Larry Perkins, CEO and founder of Sierra Constellation Partners, LLC. Larry has more than 18 years of management, consulting, and advisory experience with companies undergoing transition. Larry has enhanced business performance for numerous companies on projects ranging from interim management, profit improvement, and working capital management to strategic planning and transaction execution. Larry is also the author of the Amazon bestseller, Don't Be a Stranger, where he explores the secrets of strategic relationship building. He provides personal advice on how to create luck in business by offering techniques that can ultimately help readers develop their own enriching community. Hope you enjoy this interview with Larry Perkins. Hello, Larry. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's timely that you're coming on. You work with franchise businesses as well as other businesses, but you do a whole lot of work with franchise businesses as part of your business in helping them through difficult and sometimes restructuring scenarios. But tell us about yourself and about your business and how you help franchisees.
Well, I work with a management consulting firm that I started really about 13 years ago, but we work with companies and underperforming situations, including a lot of franchisees, typically trying to figure out how to get through a particularly acute business crisis. I think with everything going on in the world right now, that could mean a lot of things, including the impact of COVID and everything else.
Would this qualify?
Yeah. I think this counts just about for every business in the world, unless you're selling, you know, hand sanitizer and toilet paper. It seems like you're in the bucket with everybody else. So absolutely.
Well, so tell us about this bit. So it's Sierra Constellation Partners. You founded it 13 years ago. What led you to starting it?
Well, you know, I started the business really after working with larger companies and then identifying that, you know, working with middle market companies, franchisees, other businesses, there seemed to be a big need to work with companies like that. And it seemed like the bigger firms were focused on, you know, the larger companies or the franchisors, kind of in the franchise world. So we ultimately started it to fill a need in the marketplace and see if we could add what we were doing for larger companies before into the middle market and into franchisees. So that's ultimately what started it.
Well, and so, you know, specifically if you're working with somebody or if you're identifying whether or not you are going to work for somebody, I mean, ultimately, who is a good candidate for your services?
Sure. You know, across the board, it's really companies that are having trouble satisfying their existing obligations. And that could be bank loans. It could be their accounts payable, their food vendors, franchise fees, whoever it may be, are candidates that could do that. But, you know, and I think the context under which we were introduced was, you know, the preparation or the writing of the book that was just released. And I think what we talk about there is there's lots of different circumstances under which you can help clients in lots of different ways. And I think that's part of it is trying to find ways to be helpful, regardless of the circumstance, whether it's helping a business get through a particularly acute crisis like we do for a living, but also finding ways to be helpful even when you don't do that. And I think that's a big part of the philosophy we have here.
Well, I mean, are you guys primarily coming in doing consolidation of debts, or is it a broad set of things that you can come in and do? Or how do you, you know, if you're working, let's just throw an example out there. You know, you're working with the franchisee, you know, things have been humming along, COVID-19 hits, right? And they're in a retail space, they're closed down, they're partially open now, maybe, but they're still struggling with all of their obligations. If they were to reach out to you, number one, how do you determine whether or not there's somebody you can work with? And then number two, if they are, how do you actually work with them and put together a plan that can help them?
Yeah, the first thing we typically look at is how much runway you have to work with. And what I mean by that is if you don't have enough liquidity to keep things going, you know, your option set is very much more limited than it would be otherwise. You know, I describe it as the you know, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. That's what I'm trying to sort through. You know, if you have 2 days of liquidity and you're going to miss payroll on Friday, that's obviously a very different situation than if you have 2 years to really work the turnaround. So the first thing that we typically do is really work on getting our arms really around the operating cash and what you have. And once you do that, then you can figure out what the menu of options is. You know, if you have 2 days, your options are pretty limited. You just got to figure out a way to get out of it. If you have 2 months or 2 years, you could have a lot more options. But ultimately, the basics of it are really trying to get a consensus operating plan as far as how you're going to get out of the situation, and then really going around the table to all the financial counterparties and trying to work with them to make sure that they're aligned on the plan. Hopefully they are. If they're not, then you have to take steps to get around those things, whether it's through intense negotiations, you know, worst case scenario, bankruptcy type options. But you really have to look at what all the options are on the table and hopefully get everybody on board to agree on what to do.
But do you guys make loans to people, or you're not in that business?
No, you know, there are always exceptions to the rule because we've partnered with some of our clients over the years. If we think that we could be helpful, or if there's varying different reasons that make sense, but that's more the exception than the rule. I think overwhelmingly we're trying to come up with a solution on behalf of other people, and that's fundamentally our stock and trade.
And, you know, you had mentioned about bankruptcy, and, you know, for a lot of business owners, obviously that's not something that they want to look at, but sometimes, you know, it can be advantageous to reorganize their structure, to figure out, you know, some other mechanism to go forward. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, the current state of bankruptcy as it relates to your line of work, and then how you work with businesses on whether or not that's the best option versus restructuring a different way.
Yeah, I feel like bankruptcy, it can be a powerful tool as long as you use it appropriately. It could be absolutely the right tool in circumstances, and it could be absolutely the wrong tool. And each one is obviously custom, but I'll try and give you some or your listeners something to look at. In general, my view is if you're going into bankruptcy, you want to A, know how you're getting out. So it's not one of those things where you kind of toss up your hands and find yourselves in bankruptcy. And then number two, you have to be accomplishing something very specific. What that could be, particularly with franchisees, is perhaps you have some leaseholds that don't make sense. I know in this environment right now, there's a bunch of class action lawsuits and other things that are out there that could have pretty dire repercussions on the operations of a business. Maybe it's a way to attract capital or a sale, if there's a way to shrink to fit the business, if that makes sense. But by and large, that's what you're seeing in bankruptcy. Right now, it's a pretty scary place to be. And you really only would want to go into bankruptcy right now if you really didn't have any other solutions. You're not seeing the strategic bankruptcies you were seeing a couple of years ago, just because the state of the capital markets are so disrupted right now that you don't have the same access to cash that you could have a handful of years ago. So as a result, it's a little bit murkier than it would be otherwise. That said, the bankruptcy courts are very busy. You're seeing things pick up. There's been some very large bankruptcies in the franchise space. So I think a lot of people are waiting to see how those play out going forward.
Well, and you wrote a book, an Amazon bestseller, Don't Be a Stranger. You mentioned it a little bit earlier on. Tell me about that book. Tell me what it's about.
Sure thing. Ultimately, we put the book together really because I wanted to get the word out more than anything else. Luckily, in a position where, you know, if we sell one book or we sell a million books, it's not the reason we're necessarily doing it. It's really more to get the message out. And the book is fundamentally about establishing better business relationships. And I think that's particularly germane to the circumstances right now in the world. I mean, if you have crummy business relationships or you don't keep your group of people around you close right now, it's a really hard time to go to a landlord if you've been distant or remote or not stayed in touch with them along the way. So I think it's particularly apt right now.
So does that tie in directly to your business, to Sierra Constellation, or is it just kind of a one-off? Because it sounds like you're tying in both, right? Building strategic relationships, obviously to grow the business, but in part so that when something does go wrong, you can turn to those relationships and see if there's ways to potentially, you know, work things out, because there's been a built up trust. There's a history. There's a relationship there.
Yeah, it's really a good question. It honestly, both. I think in some ways, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, if you're building your business and establishing relationships there, that typically means you're staying in touch with the people that you're already doing business with. So I think that's absolutely part of it. You know, how the book came to be is, you know, ultimately I started the business when I was 29 years old. You know, in retrospect, it seems a little bit absurd to have done that, but
doesn't it always, right? You're like, at the time, you're like, I know everything. I can do this. And I'm just saying that now you look back and you're like, God, I didn't know squat. Like, I mean, how did I even make this happen?
Yeah, I always joke that the reverse narrative is so much cleaner than it actually was at the time. I mean, I remember, you know, the origin story of the business and ultimately what turned into the book and everything else was, I think I was out for a jog one day and I was just sick of my job and didn't want to work for anyone anymore. I mean, that's about as well thought out of the plan as it was at the time, you know, and I had 6 months of rent saved up and didn't have kids or anything at that point. So it seemed like a reasonably safe thing to do. And the basics of it was, you know, hey, let's see if this works. And then if it doesn't work, then I'll go get another job.
Well, that's why also a lot of people get into franchises. They don't want to work for anybody else.
You know? No, absolutely. And honestly, it was one of the things we were looking at the time. To be perfectly honest, I didn't have the money. But I remember my wife was actually working for 7-Eleven at the time. And we were looking at that. We were looking at other franchises. She was at corporate at 7-Eleven, but we kept looking at trying to figure out a way if we could buy a franchise or something else. At the time, we didn't have experience doing that. I did have experience doing consulting. So it was definitely on the table at that time.
Well, yeah, I'm always fascinated by people in this line of work because literally you're going into situations that are bad, right? And you're trying to make them better. So I understand that. I mean, that's sort of the motivation. But there's this whole psychology behind it all. I mean, how do you deal with that day in and day? I mean, you're going into situations that are of a dire nature. And so your motivation is obviously to help turn around. But I gotta think that it's taxing on you and your firm when you just can't. I mean, when you just can't do too much. I mean, how do you know? How do you know without being fully invested in the business whether or not there's a way to save it?
Yeah, it's a very insightful question. Two things. Number one, you know, there is a little bit of a corporate physician type of approach, right? I couldn't imagine working in a hospital where you're actually saving lives, particularly these days. But there's part of it that's saying, okay, we didn't make the mess. We're just here to fix it, right? So there's part of it would be you're trying to solve a problem, right? So I think that's part of it. The other side is intellectually, it doesn't get much more interesting than this, right? You're coming into these crazy complex situations and trying to come up with a solution where others may not have in the past, or it seems very murky to see what that solution may be. And then the third part, and this is a little bit contrary to what people think of people in our business, you have to be an innate optimist to work in this business. I mean, there's real darkness when you come in sometimes, and you really have to find a way to see the light through all that. So from a feel-good standpoint, if you can pull off a turnaround or get through one of these situations, it really does feel pretty good because you're really kick-saving something right before it collapses.
Well, how do you get paid? I mean, do you get paid by the upside that you can possibly provide to them, or is there a fee structure?
Yeah, there's a fee structure. The way I describe it is the closer it is to you running out of the money, the more it looks like a law firm. Just because, you know, there's a lot of risk if you're coming in and you only have a day or two to make your payments, right? So part of it is we have to be careful about the types of situation we go into to make sure that A, there's a good enough upside that we can take the risk to make sure we get compensated for that. And B, you know, we think that there's a good turnaround story or something we can really add value to. So again, if it's very distressed, it looks a lot more like a law firm where you're billing hourly or daily or some function of time. The ones we really like is if we can align our interest with what success may look like. You know, is it getting a turnaround done? Is it getting a deal done? A restructuring with the bank done? When you can define what success is clearly, we like to participate in that success. It seems more equitable for everybody. And usually what it comes down to is some combination of the two where you get paid to figure out the plan and then you get kind of back end paid to successfully execute the plan.
And I mean, you've got a whole team that works with you, right? I mean, I think one of the things that you highlight as a differentiator for your business is that you're not a lone wolf. I mean, you've got a team. Talk to us about that team, how you guys operate, how you work with a business if they were to reach out to you.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I know. I think that's honestly one of the things that separates our firm from a lot of the others in the industry is just the quality of our team. And that's something we spend an awful lot of time developing, similar to what we're talking about here. I mean, that's our franchise, is our ability to scale beyond just what I can do. And I think we spend a lot of time thinking about building franchise value for that reason. You know, the team really breaks into two components. You know, you have on one side, the people that are really the operating people and know how to get stuff done on the ground and turn a business around and motivate people and focus on the leadership. That tends to be the more senior people on the team. The other side of it is the math and science people. And what I mean by that is people who can really communicate with the banks, the hedge funds, the private equity firms, you know, all the financial constituents who demand a lot of really precise, accurate, quick information. So we take people off of Wall Street and investment banks and private equity firms and pivot them to work fundamentally for the franchisees or the other businesses that we help. And that combination of the hardcore operating people and the hardcore financial people is really how we separate ourselves from kind of being the lone wolf out there.
What's the best place for people to get a hold of you? I know you've got SierraConstellation.com. Mm-hmm. You can also be found on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, all the social media sites. Is the SierraConstellation.com the best place to reach you?
Yeah, we have a lot of information out there. You know, we're pretty active on LinkedIn too, just given what we do. So yeah, reaching out on LinkedIn, you know, apropos of what our book is, Don't Be a Stranger, we try and be out there as much as we can. So it's typically pick up the phone, give us a call. You know, the nature of the calls we get, as I'm sure you do too, sometimes can be rather absurd. You know, hey, I'm going to miss payroll Friday. What do I need to do? So, you know, we're accustomed to getting into those situations. So it's pretty fun.
All right. As a final question, obviously, given the nature of your business, you know, for people who are listening, for people who are in a situation that is bad, but they don't know if it's dire, when is the right time for them to call you? I mean, you know, I know from your perspective, you don't want them to wait till they've got a day or two left, but when is it the right time to reach out and see if they need your services?
Yeah, of course, this is a self-serving answer, right? But I'll try and be objective about it. I think probably making the initial call before you're ready and not retaining somebody, but just getting some information. You know, if you're working with a law firm like everybody does, you know, getting a consultation and spending 15, 20 minutes with somebody who really knows restructuring and insolvency, if you have an inkling of an issue, you know, we do a lot of, you know, we had a case recently where we had the initial call 18 months before and we got retained 18 months later because things played out the way it was. So it's a two-part question. Pick up the phone early. Doesn't mean you have to hire someone. Phone calls are free, right? Pick up the phone early and just, if you have an inkling that something's wrong, there probably is. Hopefully you can avoid it. What's the expression? An ounce of prevention is better than a pain, you know, a pound of whatever the other side of that is, but you get the idea. I think calling early and just at least framing the issue is probably more important. You know, you get a letter from your bank, the landlords are getting a little bit itchy, things like that is a typical thing when we see.
So I know I said that was the final question, but I got one more for you because I thought
that's okay.
Where are you seeing this go? I mean, you know, obviously there are the PPP funds that the businesses got. They're trying to get some more funds, it looks like, but nothing's really been solidified. Those funds have run out. I mean, where are you seeing this going? I mean, obviously COVID is still around. Mm-hmm. It's on the rise. You know, there doesn't look like there's going to be a full shutdown. Where do you see this going in terms of, you know, how a business should approach it? And I'll answer that in part myself, that you know, my philosophy is, you know, until a bill is passed and signed, you just have to operate as though there is no bill. And so I think from a business perspective, you have to operate like you're not going to get any more funds. But I'm curious if you have a similar take.
Yeah, I mean, one of my old bosses had this great expression that I still use. It's all trash till it's cash. Right. And until you see the money come in, you know, you can't spend it. I was on a call with a franchisee this morning. Same thing. We think that there will probably be more stimulus money coming in. That said, I'm not going to bank on it. Right. We're facing rent time here coming up pretty quickly also for a lot of folks. So, you know, it's a very broad question. It's a great question. You know, short answer, I wish I was more optimistic. I don't think anything good is happening for a while. I just think we got to clear this spike, probably get to some level of vaccine, you know, probably get through the election just so we can stop sniping at each other so much. But yeah, I feel like it's going to be a little bit darker before it gets lighter. That said, ultimately, I'm an optimist. We'll get through it. You can't just wholesale put thousands of businesses out of business. So I think we'll get through it. But I think it's going to be a little bit clunky, if I'm being honest, just to get through it from now. And we're seeing that across our portfolio. The things I'm watching is, you know, the $600 reimbursement, you know, the $600 unemployment number, that's really helped, I think, keep things going. And then obviously the PPP was unbelievably helpful to a lot of businesses. So
it's just both of those at this point are running out. And so you're in that predicament, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was a double-edged sword, right? The unemployment was so good, you had people not necessarily rushing back to work. Now that's going to run out. At the same time, you have these PPP funds that are running out, and we're not certain whether more is going to come. So there's a lot that could happen over this next month in terms of if nothing is passed and we've still got the uncertainty. I mean, we could see a lot of things shutting down, more people being laid off, but we don't know. I mean, that's the thing. So you're right. I agree with everything you said. I mean, you have to operate as though it's not going to happen. And so I would say that if somebody's in that predicament where they're sitting there thinking to themselves, I need this money to come through, then now's the time to give you a call, right? I mean, don't sit around and wait, you know, give you or give somebody else a call, you know, figure out what would be a good plan going forward and don't wait until that last minute to do it.
Yeah, it's just like any other, I mean, as all business owners here, right, you want to get ahead of the problems, right? You don't want to be in a position where you're responding to problems. If you could be the first one going to the bank asking for money, you're going to be a lot better off than the 100th one going to the bank asking for money. So as a rule, being proactive, it's just a truism, being proactive is much better than being reactive in these situations.
100%. Well, thank you, Larry. I know you've got a busy schedule ahead of you. Thank you so much for coming on. It really was a joy speaking with you and learning more about your business. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here. Big fan of your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.